All right, everyone, thank you very much for joining us on this Breaking Inertia episode with this man, James McGrath, someone who I've been following for quite some time. I first initially came across him on Instagram, and this video that someone had shared on their story, as far as I remember, and it was quite emotional, and it was quite a vulnerable video that was put out there for everyone to see. And from that point, I just thought this person's very genuine and open, and I'm just going to follow this guy. And here he is on this podcast. Now, there's a lot I think we're going to touch on today. There's loads of things to cover, but for this, just to start off, where were you at that point that you decided to start passing through, to start talking to people about loving their self, being grateful, things like that?
First off, Seamus, thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. You're doing absolutely amazing, and I trust that there's people going to watch this and be inspired by yourself and myself and my story. So yeah, I'm delighted, first off, that you picked up on the page and you followed the page, and you were saying there, you know, it resonated with you. And
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, and I'll answer the question that you asked. Basically, you know, I put myself out there in the online space, and I took a leap of faith. In the past, when I was growing up, I used to be shy. I did have, you know, a bit of confidence, but to go online and start to talk and start to do a video, definitely wasn't something in my mind. But there was just a few occasions, a few events, and a few situations that arised that almost inspired me then to record a video. I actually recorded several times, and I was a bit still nervous. And then I was like, something needs done, something needs said, and my voice needs heard, and my message needs shared as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just bit the bullet. Sometimes you procrastinate, or you talk yourself out, or you play the victim. And I used to do that a lot. So this was like a real game changer in my life, where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to put out this message. I first off started on Facebook. I have a page called Passing Through. And then I set up an Instagram as well, because people liked and loved it. So I got to a stage in my life, going back before the page, I got to a stage in my life where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, to the point where, and I'll just be honest with you, I almost wanted to die. I wanted to end my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody's ever been in that situation, and I pray that you won't be, or people watching this, you won't be. But, you know, when you're in that state and you're in that, you just zone out, and you're really in your own mind. And I got to that point. I was actually standing at a cliffside around the age of 22. I was in Donegal on a holiday, and I just looked down, and the waves were crashing in. And I was like, what's the point? What is the freaking point? And in that moment, and the people asked, well, why were you in that state? It was a combination of many, many different things and stories that I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tapping into those stories. And when you go through school, I know me, I wasn't really taught about the mind. I wasn't really taught about dealing with your emotions. I was taught history, and school's a brilliant, brilliant place. But there wasn't really a system for me to learn about my emotions and emotionally engaging with myself.
Yeah.
And it's something that we almost have to find out on our own, or get a mentor or a coach, or sign up to a course or a retreat or anything like that.
Yeah.
So for me, I got that stage where I just wanted to die. And then in that moment, it was like I found my heartbeat. I just found my pulse. And it was almost like this wake-up call. It was like a divine intervention. And I started to see, like, you know, my mom, my dad, all the people I was leaving behind, my future. I was starting to see, you know, oh, I actually have a body. I actually have a mind. I'm actually very blessed. So from that action step of touching my pulse, unconsciously, I actually started then adding gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I was so grateful. I started to be grateful for the waves crashing.
Yes.
And since then, I live my life to the full in every possible way. And is there challenges? Yeah. Have I went through challenges since then? Yes, I've actually went through major challenges, even worse challenges than that. And I can explain those things as well. But really, I went from depression to expression. I went from depression to expression.
Mm-hmm.
So I then set up the page, and there was a few situations, there was a few deaths in my local town. And I was like, I want to teach people the power of like the beliefs and knowing that, you know, you're an amazing human being. Like, we are actually amazing human beings. Mm-hmm. And in my first video, I talked about, you know, we are breathing miracles. Like, you, me and you, Shami, we're the same. And so is everybody watching this. We live under the same sky. We live in the same universe. And we're all breathing. Mm-hmm. And quite often, we are so super busy. People can be so super busy. And we're getting things done that we even forget to appreciate our own self.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm all about now, and helping other people to be about, to appreciate their body, their mind, their heart, their intuition, their imagination, their dreams, their goals.
Yeah.
So that's basically that part of the story, you know.
Just to get sort of maybe some relative perspective on it, like, you, what caused the depression? What sort of things were you saying to yourself? Just to maybe people to sort of relate, you know, in a way.
Excellent question. Yeah, so I learned over the last 4 years, this is how I was able to know what I was saying. I was saying a lot of self-doubt, talking a lot of, I was playing the victim. Everything was happening to me. And so life can happen to you or for you. And I was very much in the victimhood, and I lived there for many, many, many years. So I was narrating stories. Mm-hmm. I wasn't being blessed with the stories. I was actually communicating a poor belief system, poor mindset. Mm-hmm. So I would be saying, I am stupid. I am fat. I am ugly. I am useless. I am not good enough. And some of these reference points were actually from other people, beliefs from other people as well. Like, you know, people who pick on you in school, or people who say things. And some people say things that they don't mean, mm-hmm. you know, they don't mean. Some people actually do things to connect. So a fellow wants to be, you know, the macho man in school, and he wants to impress everybody. So he just spits out something, and really his heart doesn't really mean it, but he's trying to impress. And we've all been there, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I was playing stories over in my mind. And then, of course, you know, when situations arise, you know, I was very close to my grandmother. She passed away. I had to deal with that. I was the first of her grandson in the house. I was like a celebration, because all my other the grandkids and my cousins, they were all girls. So when she passed away, you know, I remember speaking at her funeral. I was standing there. I was like, you know, she's not here anymore, but she was there in the spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
But dealing with this as well. So there was many, many combination of many different things. You know, it wasn't just one thing, but I just wasn't trained. I wasn't trained in the power of the mind. I wasn't trained in like your physiology. Like, you can actually move your body, which you can move your mind. I wasn't trained on the power of belief. I wasn't trained on the power of imagination. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trained on the story and the state, that you can actually change your story, which can change your state.
Mm-hmm.
And your state is how you feel. I wasn't really trained on that. And now, which is the things now swinging roundabouts.
Yes.
I'm now in schools doing delivering talks, you know, as well.
Yes.
I'm doing an online conference next week to over 1,000 kids, you know, inspiring the youth of this island.
So important.
Emotional well-being. I know some people call it mental health. We have to be really careful of our mind, and the mind works in pictures. So with the word mental health, because we're putting mental at the start, we're attaching that to health then. So mental health. And the thing is, people aren't trained. They don't know the associations attached to mental. So some people think, when I remember growing up, if someone had mental health, they were actually labeled as crazy. They were actually labeled as insane. And yeah, some people actually told you to stay away from those people, which is absolutely madness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not right. So what we're about is emotional well-being. It's a different feeling.
It's a better way to put it, yeah.
Well, everything is energy, even words. Words are energy, you know, and we learn a lot from words. And I would be studying words when I can. A lot of words stem from Latin, you know, and emotions, energy and motion. We all have emotional well-being.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say I take away from mental health. I'm not taking away from mental health. But what I'm saying is I used to live in that mode a lot that I have mental health. And I was saying I have anxiety. I have depression. We all have those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Every single human being, 7.7 billion people on this planet have felt depressed, have felt anxious, have felt upset. And if someone's portraying that they haven't, then they're living in a false reality. They're living in a bubble. That's a fact.
That's very real. So you got to that stage where all these things are happening. So before passing through, before you got the courage to kind of start something like that, what was the first thing you did? I know you said the pulse, but what was your next sort of... Where were we going next? Were you reading books? Were you looking for a mentor? What was it that you found that sort of started you and helped you then?
That's another excellent question. So I have to actually think about that. So when I came off the cliff, obviously I went back to my family and I didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell anybody about my experience. Mm-hmm. I went back to work. I worked and I also went back into my friendships and family and relationships. Mm-hmm. At that time, and I never really uncovered it until 4 years ago. I shared it. I actually attended a retreat, and now I'm actually the facilitator and the mentor of these retreats. I actually opened up and shared the story, and I hadn't told anybody, and I released, and it was like, it was life changing for me. I went through the process. So yeah, well, after the heartbeat, I just went back into normal life as such.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't really want to think about it again. It was almost like this passing thought of wanting to die. And then I just started to live and to learn. In relation to books, you asked about the books. There was no particular book that I read. I held the belief for a long time that I wasn't actually a good reader. I held that for a long time. So... When I go into books, I actually just take a page or two or three pages out of it and go apply. Sometimes people get stuck in the bookworm.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's another book and it's another book and it's another book. Well, my ethos would be like, right, let's just read a page or three pages and then read what really and not resonate with that and then go take the action or be whatever the book is telling you to be. As long as it's aligned with your core values.
Yes. Yes. You can tick like there's certain books out there, you'll tick little pinches of this and wee dashes of that and sort of gel and make it work for yourself in a certain way.
And people watching this, I know I just want to say this, you know, my belief is books are brilliant and someday I'll write a book and I'm sure you'll write a book as well. You know, you will. I will write a book and I'm sure you will. But I'll write a book about my story and, you know, I will. And people have asked me to write books, you know. But really, read yourself. You know, I'm a book.
Yes. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So people think, right, they have to need this certain book. And that's brilliant, you know, really, yes. But if you don't have the book or if the book's not in on the shelf,
yes.
What do you do? Well, you have to go inside yourself.
yeah. I'm just going to take note on that. What do you call self-awareness?
Absolutely. You know, really reading yourself, like the person you spend most time with is with yourself. It's not with the book because you can't carry about the book all the time. You know what I mean?
It's not with
the meditation that you're listening to. You know, some people get right, I have to meditate for 2 hours in the morning and this is now meditation. Well, me and you can go out now and the birds are about to sleep. You know, they're tuning to the vibration of harmony vibration. And that's meditation too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even me and you right now, this is very meditative. This is very relaxing. Mm-hmm. And this is very informative. But I'm thankful for this experience.
Yes.
There's joy in this experience.
Yes.
So sometimes we as human beings think that we need things outside of ourselves. However, we have got so many wonderful things inside ourselves, our mind, our body, of course, our intuition, our imagination, our perception, mm-hmm. and all of these muscles that we're not trained to exercise.
Yes. Well, it's sort of to go back again, sorry, but you went back to your normal life. Did you notice a difference in your relationships, your friendships, your things with your family? I mean, your work, did you notice a difference?
That's another excellent question. I did notice a difference as in I was more joyful. I was more happier. I didn't know why. Well, obviously, let go of that story. But I remember, I'll share this story. I used to work in a supermarket. I'll just name the supermarket. Good shout out to Tesco's. Many years ago. And I actually loved it because you're meeting people. You know, from a service of purpose, right? Hmm. And I find when you're working with people, it's the best training. It's the best training. It really is the best training. Customer service, working with people, helping mm-hmm. people. Learning from people, loving people, appreciating people. And one thing when I was in my job, I was buzzing. I was happy. But inside me, there was something longing for me to do.
Mm.
And the answer to your question is, yes, I went back to my normal life. But I knew that in that moment of the heartbeat, as the time progressed, there was a longing, there was a purpose, there was a burning desire inside of me wanting to do more.
Yeah.
So I was playing at a level, and it's no disrespect to supermarkets, but I was like, I need to do more in this world. I need to do more in this world because I was born on purpose. My family, brought me into this life. I've learned a lot of things. I want to share my story. And I was limited by my own limitations.
Mm-hmm.
My own limitations. And then I had another awakening where I followed a few signs from divine connection, and it led me to actually this room 3 years ago, this room, and I'm here ever since.
Awesome, man.
When I was in Tesco's in the Supers, I learned a lot there. I learned yes. so much there. That was my training ground.
Yeah.
But I remember a work colleague, and she said to me, and this story really resonates with me, you know, and she says, James, you know, you have so much more to give in life. And she says, I want you to leave this place. You need to leave this place. She looked up and she pointed up and she says, James, you know what? Outside of this, there's a big world. There's a big world out there, and the world needs to hear your stories. The world needs to hear you. The world needs, and I was like, wow, you know, and I remember getting goosebumps. I didn't leave straight after that. I sat with her thoughts and her beliefs, and I then took action, and it was the best thing I ever done because I left behind a job that did help me to a point, and then since then I used the analogy or the words of Gary Lightbody, Snow Patrol, you know, show me a garden bursting into life. Ever since I left that position, ever since I left that cliffside, found my heartbeat, there was moments in time then my garden started to burst into life.
Yes.
You know, and now I'm constantly nurturing my seeds, getting rid of the weeds,
uh-huh.
tending to my garden, of course, the garden of the mind.
Yeah.
Now I'm helping people burst into life as well.
What age were you then whenever this woman told you this?
I'm 31 now. So that was about four years ago. I'm not specific on time. I don't know the actual time.
Yes, roughly,
But yeah, it was about 4 years ago. And, you know, a friend will really always tell you the truth. And mm-hmm. she is a friend, you know, and she told me, and she was a very wise woman, you know, and I listened to her. And that was just one reason why.
There
was other reasons. But she really helped me in that situation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very blessed for that experience.
It takes one person to see it for you to open your eyes. And obviously then you took the action. But you're a man, as far as I know, of many talents. You play the guitar and you do a bit of singing and a bit of jiving. So can you tell me after, did you approach the singing and then fall back in this year's what way does it, what way did it go from that point?
That's a cracker question as well. My father, I got my first ever guitar when I was 13, and I never entertained it at all. Never entertained it. I actually bought my first guitar when my first ever job, I was a special needs assistant. Mm-hmm. And I was made redundant. I was there in a school for 5 years. I'm now back in that school. I was in that school
very good.
To talk. And there's a few stories there that I'll have to put in my book as well.
Yes.
We could talk all day. So, basically, I bought my first guitar when I was my father got me a guitar for Christmas when I was 13. But then I bought my first ever guitar when I was about 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was made redundant and was just before the Cliffside story experience. And I just started picking up, but I would write my own songs, and I write about experiences like heartbreak and challenges.
Now
I'm actually now writing more songs that are, you know, connected with, like, you know, relaxation, and we would say high positive, low positive. So they're more joyful songs. And I think for any singer songwriter who's watching this, they'll agree, you know, you write songs with what's going on in your life at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I also do the dancing as well outside of this job and this mission. It's actually not a job, it's a mission. This is my mission for the rest of my life, to be honest with you. I'm committed to helping as many people as possible to, you know, free up their energy and directing their emotions. So I do a bit of jiving too.
Can you tell me what was it? How did you get the specific, like, obviously leaving high schools and stuff, but specifically into what you're doing, and, like, you know, expressing that energy, whatever it is, you could have went music, right? You could have went whatever, but how did you get from that point? And can you fill in the gap between there and what you're actually doing now?
So I was actually in the supermarket at the time, and I was debating on whether to leave or not.
Yeah.
And a man reached out to me. He had seen my videos. He had seen some of the songs I was singing as well. He's called Stevie J, and this is now his hub. This is his hub. And he reached out, and he just reached out randomly. Mm-hmm. I'd heard about him in the media and stuff, but he's done so many amazing, wonderful. He ran 100 marathons in 100 days. He ran 60 ultra marathons in 60 days, breaking world records. And when he messaged me, I was like, oh, here's an opportunity. And I was actually standing in the same place where I recorded my first ever passing through video.
Wow.
And this is the truth. I was standing in the same place where I recorded passing through the video, the first one. And he messaged me saying, hello, James, Stevie J, Steve McGeown here. We would love to invite you to speak at a conference for young people for the Super U. Now, I was in the supermarket this morning. Yeah. Like, what? Me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hello? Hello? Me? You know, you play all these. So anyway, I took the action. I went and seen him. He asked me up, and we got to know each other. I'm actually in the room. He sat me over here. There's a table over here. We sat down and we talked. And there was just a good energy about him. He listened. He was,
yeah.
You know, when you meet someone and you just know they're genuine, like, mm-hmm. and they're from the heart, and they're not there for any other agenda.
Yeah.
He really helped me that day as well. He taught me tools to really help me at that time. And he said to me, James, you know what? What are you doing? And I told him, you know, my job. And he says, well, I can offer you a position here. And I says, right. And he says, yeah, I'll offer you, you can work alongside me, and, you know, we'll have things for you here for you to do, and you can do this talk. And I was like, what? So I went back, told my family, told my friends, they're like, keep you safe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they come from love, they come from security.
Yes.
And next thing, I took the action. I was standing at the checkouts, and I looked up, and I seen a clear sign. I was on checkout number 22. And I actually, when I won my first ever dance competition, I had 22 on the back of my shirt with Fiona Doyle. We won the dance competition in Monaghan. And 22 would almost, I would see numbers, you know. You know, sometimes you see signs. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes
yes,
you're not.
Yes, yes.
But this number was very prevalent at this time. And I just went, and I wrote out my notice that day and I left. And I haven't worked there since. And I've worked here ever since.
How long ago was that?
That was about 3.5 years ago.
That's mad.
Yeah, 3.5 years ago. So the lesson in this, because I always said, so listen to the messenger. Yes, I'm the messenger. But listen in the message. Life is going to show you signs.
Yeah.
Life will show you signs. Now, it's up to you to take the action.
Yeah.
I was prolonging and procrastinating for many years. And then next thing, this just felt right. And quite often when you be patient and you allow, next thing, signs become more clear.
Yes.
And this sign was like, so, Seamus, to explain this and to express this, it was resonating of the highest vibration, which was unconditional love. This man was offering me a position that I was of my wildest dreams. I always wanted to be part of something more. Mm-hmm. Here, life was showing me in front of my face. Now, I could have went and said, no, a place safe. Ever since then, you know, I've spoken in front of thousands of people. My first ever big talk was after a retreat. And there was three thousand people were. So I went from a checkout desk on my own to talking in front of a big audience.
Mm-hmm.
And high, well, belief.
Have you ever done that before? Did you ever do that before? Or
the only time I done that, Seamus, was when I was on my lives and there was thousands of people watching. True. I didn't actually do it physically, but through the training here, through the learn about the physiology, learn about the power of focus, learn about the power of imagination, learn about the power of certainty, conditioning and the repetition and repeating all conditioning, I've been able to move forward leaps and bounds. Now, I'm not perfect and I'm not pretending to be perfect. I'm still learning and I'm still growing, but I have moved forward and moved away from things and moved forward with things in my life that I want to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. So from starting there 3.5 years ago, give us a wee bit of an example of one, how you've grown, and after doing one of the talks, has anyone said anything to you?
I'll share this. The first time I started working with Stevie says to me, James, I can train you to the best of your ability and you're going to be a leader in the world if you want to be, right? And mm-hmm. lead people through their life. But the first thing I want you to do is to clean the toilets. And I looked at him and I was like, what? Hold on. What? Clean the toilets? And he says, yes, James, what you put in, you get back. If you can clean the toilets to the best of the ability, and when they're spanking clean, you can train people. Because it's what you put in that you get back. And that was a revelation. That was, and still to this day, when I, you know, it's something that we don't really think about. But think about this. Mm-hmm. What you put in, you get back. So from then, like I started, you know, doing admin, cleaning toilets back then. And I was doing all this, making peppermint tea for people, welcoming people into the office. And now I'm professionally trained where I have clients. I'm professionally trained where I have private clients. And I'm also part of the team here where we do talks and deliver talks and we do retreats. And I've been flown out to, I actually went to New York and done my first ever talk in the USA and mm-hmm. in Yonkers, you know. So how did that all happen? Well, I took action. I took a leap of faith. That's one way.
And I'm sure it wasn't all rosy and perfect every day. Was there any days that you felt that is it really going to come through, or am I totally off guard there? Or was there days that you really thought that this wasn't really going to work?
That's an excellent question. To be honest with you, I'm trying to think. No, when I look back in this journey, I taking that leap of faith was the best thing for me. Yes, there was times where it was like, where's this going? And there was questions with, you know, well, I stayed the pace. I stayed on track.
Yeah.
I stayed with Stevie. And since then, a lot of things have changed in my life. I'm now engaged to my beautiful fiance. We're going to build a new home and build a home, you know. So, yeah, there was times where you were like, oh, where's this going? And sometimes you just stay the pace.
Yeah.
And repeat the lessons and repeat the teachings over and over again. And that's what I do. Still to this day, I'm still learning, still crafting, still moving forward, you know.
It takes a bit of grit to kind of go through that, you know, that staying power, because there's obviously this, and it's the same with a training program, like, you know, at the gym or a university course or whatever the case may be. But it's like, I'll take that, what you're saying, and kind of use it on so many other perspectives, you know. It's like, and everybody could relate to that.
Absolutely. Like, you know, sometimes in life, you may be feeling, and people, when I'm saying you, I'm talking to people watching this, because the value in this is for people watching this, you know.
Yeah.
We're two men from this part of the world having a conversation. So we want to make sure that people watching this get something from it. So sometimes you're maybe feeling uncertain about things and you're criticizing yourself. And it's good to, you know, it's good to question. It's good to question. And I question myself, what have I got to lose? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'll end up back where I was, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, what have I got really to lose?
Mm-hmm. You can always go back. You can always go back to Tesco. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then
actually, well, the only time I'll be back at Tesco is, and this is the truth, they actually invited me to speak.
Really?
They actually invited me in to train their staff.
And that's Did you take them up on that?
It fell through because there was a few challenges with it, and it never went anywhere. But I'm now actually training people and businesses and business owners and corporations and success people who are moving forward, and training their staff about customer service and I'm doing that now anyway, you know. So no, I'll never be back in that position. I'm always springing forward, but I'm very blessed.
Because
it happened for me, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happened for me. Happened. And communicating to our minds is so important, because if you're not communicating that, then you're communicating that you're the victim or everything's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very blessed for my experiences. I was just sharing this with you, and I know I'm going off on a different story, but 2 years ago, my car rolled off the road several times. I was involved in a major road traffic collision. I almost lost my life. Now, you have to understand this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wanted to end my life in when I was 22.
Yeah.
I am now in a position where I don't have control of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've experienced both. And the car's rolling off the road. I'm screaming. I'm praying. I'm asking, please help me. You know, first off, the guy, he broke a red light. And, you know, I forgive him for it. Absolutely forgive him for it. It was meant to be. Everything's meant to be. You know, I hold no bitterness or no anger or no frustration.
That's a big thing, you know, and it takes a lot of courage to do that. And then the reason why I'm saying that too, and it's, and it brings in having a little bit of faith, and people talk about, I don't know, God or whoever their person is they talk to, and it kind of gives that pressure, it relieves that pressure, gives that pressure to that belief or that, and so that it's massive, and you can feel so much better for allowing yourself to do that.
Exactly, you're handing it over. You're completely trusting and relying. So you have my car is rolling off the road.
Mm.
It's been battered and bruised. It lands on its side, right? Mm-hmm. It was going across the Portadown Northway. I thought the cars were going to bang into me. Thankfully, I survived. There was no broken bones or nothing. I swear to God, the paramedic on the scene, I actually knew him. He actually called me Miracle Man on the day. The road was closed for 8 hours. And the funny thing is, the special thing about this story, I was going to a live event where I was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my life flashed before my eyes. I thought I'd never see my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brother, who was in New Zealand, he's now part of our team. I thought I would never see them again. I thought I'd never see my fiance again. I thought I was going to die. That was it. My life was coming to a close. And I completely allowed everything to let go. I went with the car. I don't know if people maybe heard this. So drunk, when people are drinking and they go in the car, they're actually more relaxed.
Yes.
And sometimes when people are drinking in the car, you just don't do that, right? But what happens is sometimes people are going, why weren't they hurt? Well, their body's actually loose.
Yes. People were sleeping too.
Yeah. Well, sleeping. I actually let go of the resistance. Mm-hmm. So if I resisted, right? If I resisted the steering wheel, so if I put stress and tension in my body, I would have been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I completely went with the car. I trusted. I allowed. And people call it, you know, as you said, God, universe, spirit, divine. Yeah. I don't know if anybody will ever be in that situation. I pray that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it doesn't have to be a car crash.
Yep.
Because sometimes it's a car crash in the name. Sometimes it's the emotional challenge, I would know a lot of people. We help a lot of people. People who have a lot of money in the bank. A lot of money. But they're not happy. Right? So it's about totally allowing yourself to hand life over. Life happened for you.
Yes.
It's a reflection. So the thing is, it's up to us to be. So I'm in my relationship with my fiance, right? I learn from her. I grow with her, you know?
Yeah.
And so, for example, we're all in relationships with people. It doesn't matter if it's a partner, a close relationship, intimate relationship. This is even a relationship, a friendship, a bond, right? Brotherhood, right? I'm learning from you. I'm growing from you. And as I listen, I'm actually appreciating, respecting my own self, but also respecting you. So it's actually the law of reflection, you know, which is really important. It's what you do that determines then how other people behave as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's six human needs. One of them is connection, but another one is security. A lot of people who are too secure then reflect that security out, you know? Mm-hmm. So with me and my car crash or any relationship or any experience now, if you're too secure and you're too holding on, there's a moment in time where you just have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only learn from letting go. Truthfully.
Yeah.
You know, by allowing and relaxing. We would say to our clients, and I'm going to say this to you as well and everybody watching this, a relaxed mind is a winner's mind. If you want to be a winner in life, relax your mind. Relax your body, you know, and there's ways in doing this. There's ways in doing this, of course. And this is what we teach people to do. But relax your mind. A relaxed mind is a winner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why I survived the car incident, the divine intervention, I don't even call it a car crash. I changed the story and the narrative, and the perception around it. It was a divine intervention in my life. Oh my God, I'm alive. Wow. Mm-hmm. I was high-fiving the police officers. I was hugging. Shout out to Jonathan and Rupert from Armagh Police Station. I swear to God, Shibs, I was loving life. I was buzzing because I knew I was very blessed.
I could just see you coming out, high five. Can we do it again? Can we do it again?
Yeah. Swear to God. But now people think that's mad. But the thing is, and this is really important, I could have played into the drama.
Yes.
I could have played into the fear. I could have played into, oh, poor pity me. You know what? I was very blessed.
100%.
Very blessed that I'm here now and I can move. And just to share the main part of the story too then, I then went to the live event.
Yeah.
And spoke about my situation, about the event.
This is why I'm late.
It was amazing.
So you told them about the car crash and stuff, did you?
Yeah. Some people thought it was scripted. Some people were like, what? Now, some people had missed the live event. They were late because of the car incident, the car crash. But I walked in and I said to my fiance, I said, you're walking in here with me. She came out of school. She's a teacher. She left school to see me. I was flooding tears of joy seeing her, seeing my family. I'll tell you this story. My laptop and my guitar were in the car. The car was brought away. The police had to bring me to the the Caergraven A&E. And I remember saying to the police officers, saying, these were different police officers at this time. I said to them, I would really love my guitar and my laptop because I have to go to a talk. I have to be somewhere. There are people flying in from Amsterdam. There's people flying in from Scotland to see me speak. There's people flying in from all parts, different parts. There was people coming up from Cork, different parts to see us, to see me speak, and to see us speak, and to, for me to deliver this. And there was other speakers. Stevie was there, and we had another man called Michelle. And I just planted that seed, right, with the intention that it could happen. Later on in the day, my father walked in, and behind him was the police officer with the guitar and the laptop. And that was a clear sign for me. Whatever it was that day, it was like, James, you're going to this event. No matter what any doctor tells you, no matter what any family member tells you, no matter what your fiance tells you, you listen to your own intuition and your own heart. And you show up and you rock into that event because people have paid to hear you speak. And guess what? I walked in 5 o'clock in the evening with my beautiful fiance. She wasn't my fiance at the time. We got engaged last year. This was in 2019. We walked in with certainty. I says, she says, I don't want to walk in. I says, Hannah, you're my partner. You're my love of my life. We're walking in together. And we walked in. And that's the truth.
Amazing, lad. You'll never forget that in a hurry that day.
So I'm very thankful for everything that happened. Even the police officers, the PSNI that day were very, very, like, they were so, everybody, the paramedics, they were so thorough, they were so professional. And I don't know, that police officer, I don't want to get him into trouble, but he moved a few goalposts because he went to the scene of the crime and he moved a guitar and a laptop and brought it to me. Out of all the things he was doing that day, he had to go and do his own job. That man showed unconditional love that day because he seen it in my heart and my eyes, what it meant for me. So he went out of the norm and he went into...
Amazing, that, man.
That's the truth.
Amazing.
This is a very powerful conversation, by the way.
It's a great conversation. I have two questions have come out of that, right? I'm looking for you to give some tools for people to work on or find more information on. And the other one is, what's your morning routine?
Well, I'm going to answer the latter question, the second question. So we have a morning routine, and this is actually a free download. One of our downloads, it's free. But I'll share with the first three steps. This is the first three steps to what we call, Stevie designed this, and I've been using it for many, many years, and I'm particularly using it now since 2021 started, you know, every day. So the first step is say yes to life in the morning. If you're not saying yes to life, then you're unconsciously, you're going to be saying no. Or the dread, or the alarm bell, when the alarm bell rings, good morning, or I've got you, babe. You remember Groundhog Day?
Yes.
I've got you, babe. Some people, snooze button, and that's okay. Don't get out of your bed until you say yes to life. Try this. Do it. Because you can try or do. Words are so important. And see the way I have to catch myself there myself. I'm my own mentor.
Yeah.
You know, so try and. You're either going to do it or you're not.
Yeah.
Trying is probability. It might or may not happen. So every morning, what I do now, I say yes to life. And here's the thing. Why saying it attach the feeling? So vibration. We are all made up of energy. So yes to life is going to kickstart your day. It's priming your day. Because if you're not saying yes, then when you come to the situations in your day, it's going to be challenging. And here's the thing. You're saying yes to life, yes to the opportunities, and yes to the challenges. This is what I actually physically say.
Yes.
Yes to life, yes to the opportunities, yes to the challenges, because the challenges make me grow. And that is like an affirmation, if you want to call it affirmation. Basically, affirmations, incantations, it's really important to feel it.
Yes.
It's not a performance. It's not that I'm telling you to say it. You have to feel it. It has to resonate with your heart. Uh-huh. It has to resonate with your soul. You know the song, I feel it in my fingers.
Yes.
I feel it in my soul. Yes. I didn't say toes, but soul.
Yes.
Make sure you're feeling it. Because if it's not feeling it, if you're not feeling it, then it's a performance. And it's probably someone else's tonality and voice. Mm-hmm. Don't do it in the Armagh accent. Do it in your own accent.
Mm.
I have a client. She's from Belarus. She's from outside Russia, Belarus. We help people in Belarus. And I was saying, do this in your own language. Say da. Da means yes in life in English. Da. Da. Say da to life. So it's in the morning, she's saying da. Because that's her native tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's the first step. Say yes to life. The second step is to count your blessings. Now, these are done in the first 90 seconds. This is only done in the first 90 seconds. So as you're laying in bed, just to let you know, go back to the first one. If there's someone laying beside you, like a you don't want to go, ah, yes, because you may get a, and you know, a dig in the jaw, or a dig in the side, your beautiful fiance or the partner that you're with. But feel it. So I wake up in the mornings. I'm up early at 4:45, 5:45. You know what I mean? I'm up at 5:45. Seize the day. Carpe diem, in Latin. Carpe diem means seize the day. And Hannah's there, but I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes, it's another day. It's another day in paradise. Because it is. It's another day for me to create, because I am a co-creator. You're a co-creator. We are all co-creators. We get to co-create. So the yes to life is the feeling. Then the second one is count your blessings. The first thing you and we all have to do this. I'm going to do this tomorrow morning. I'm a mentor, I'm a guide, I'm a coach. Your mentors, your guides, your coach, they have to be on their game, or they can't help you to be on your game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do this faithfully, repetitively every day. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can serve my clients and my people and be better in my relationships with my beautiful fiance and listen to my father more. So the second one is count your blessings. And what you're counting your blessings for, first off, is for yourself. Most people seek validation from outside of themselves. Most people look from outside external materialistical things or people. Now, yes, appreciate all the people after you appreciate yourself. Love yourself first. We are trained and taught sometimes to not put ourselves first, to beat ourselves with sticks, emotional sticks. So one thing that you do in the morning, I'm counting my blessings, thanking my body, thanking my mind, thanking my heart, thanking my nose for the smell.
Amen.
I can smell every day, thanking the eyes and all this. And then you count your blessings for everything else in your day. Do you know what I mean? Or what's your pillow that you have? There's homeless people in Dublin and Belfast and other parts of the world that don't have a pillow. So I say to people, don't tell me that you can't give thanks, because you can. You have a pillow. You have a roof over your head. You have a car. If you have car keys, you have a car. No. And that's the second step. The third step, and I said this is going to all be done in 90 seconds. Yes to life, number one. Count your blessings, number two. The third step is to see your day. And this tool, this technique is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
If you can take anything from this podcast, and we're all recording this live, I'm coming from the heart here, right? Nothing scripted in any way. See your day. See how you want to be in your day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're using there is the powerful tool or the powerful muscle of your imagination.
Visualization.
Yes, imagination. So, but here's the thing. You must attach a feeling to it.
Right.
Now, this is the key. Because as you're seeing your day, see yourself in your day, but see yourself with a base emotion. So this morning, I see myself, right? This is the truth. I see myself on Zoom sessions with my clients. I see myself in the hub here, happy. But I was attaching emotions. So I see myself, you know, certain. I see myself happy, joyful in my day. So what you're doing is you're priming your day in the morning.
Yeah.
The seeing your day is vital. Because when you see your day, what you're doing is you're using the power of your imagination, and what you're actually doing is you're scripting your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. I was doing this on the morning of my car crash. Did I see a car crash happening?
No.
But here's the thing, and this is the truth. Hand on my heart, 4 months, 3 to 4 months prior to that, my intuition came up to me that I was going to be involved in some sort of car collision.
And what sort of brought that, and how did you become aware of that then at that moment? Or
I was driving, and a flash came into my mind. Your intuition, your mind,
there's a lot of ways of
they're all linked. And I had this sense that someday, I didn't know when, didn't know where, didn't know how. I had this sense. I didn't know it was going to be 4 months after or 3 months after. I can't actually remember this, because it's not that you write a diary every day and go.
No.
I just intuitively knew that there was some situation in my life that was going to happen. And it did.
Do you think that you maybe, by thinking that, brought that to...
No. No, the answer to that is no, because I stopped thinking about it. I didn't think about it again.
Right.
Life, God, energy, universe was sending me a telegram, if you want to call it a telegram.
Right.
And Think and Grow Rich, it talks about this. I don't know if you read the book. It's based around wealth, but it's also based around, you know, see, feel, and believe yourself already in possession of what you desire. But in it talks about signs, universal signs.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have hunches, you know, like
hunches.
I would get signs like I would get goosebumps. Have you ever thought about somebody, and next thing, 2 days later, you see them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you didn't think about them, if you understand. It just came into your awareness or your being. It was like there was something within my being knew that at some stage in my life, I was going to be involved in some type of collision with a car.
Okay.
And that's, I didn't think about it, nor did I think into it. But I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
A lot of people need to watch out what they think into.
Yes.
Because I know, I've been trained here for the last 3.5 years. I stopped the thinking into it. I stopped thinking into drama and fear.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the news and the television. I don't even know the last time, to be honest with you. I don't want to think into the drama and the fear. I can't, because I have to protect my energy.
Yeah.
So it's the same. What we focus on, we feel, and what we feel, we grow. So this is linked to see your day. So see your day. What you focus on, you will feel.
Yeah.
And what you feel, you will grow. So as you're focusing in the morning, you're seeing your day. See how you want your day to be.
Yeah.
Now here is one of the top tips that I'm going to share right now. One of the enemies is distractions. You're a wonderful human being. You know what I mean? I love this podcast. But if I want to think into my day tomorrow, right? I'm going to be very distracted if I keep looking at you. So what I would say to you or anybody, make sure your eyes are closed. And just think about the ideas, the possibilities. Like, even if you want to do it now, I know I don't want to go into coaching you and mentoring you because that's not what it's about. But when your eyes are closed, you're giving yourself that space and that place to create. A lot of people are trying to create with so much distractions. The mobile phone, that's a distraction. It is an amazing tool. It's a distraction. That's a distraction.
Yes.
However, it's very important for us to relax our mind, as I said.
Yes.
As your mind is relaxed, you can see clearly.
And I think it would, if you're thinking about your day and so on, and you're trying to visualize and feel, and it would heighten. You can visualize, obviously, you can close your eyes and visualize, but it would heighten those feelings of taste, touch, smell, those type of things, other senses that you would, that the vision nearly disables, if you get me.
You're actually adding emotion to it. That's the key.
Yeah.
You're adding the feeling, as you said, the senses. So see what you see. taste what you taste, mm-hmm. hear what you hear. So this is, if I want to digest my day, so I just digest my day for people out there. This morning, my morning routine, I see myself doing this call. I've never met you, Seamus, before. Have we ever met?
No.
No. So I seen myself, and this is not a magic trick, by the way. This is just life. I seen myself having a good session, an amazing session with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yeah. And this is not ego, but I believe that we've done a good job. I believe that, because ego, you know, it's not ego. It's just truth. Like, my truth is, I played full out all day. I've been up since 5:45. I've had several clients. I've also been doing many other things.
Yeah.
Done a lot of charity work today. Done some charity work. Done some work for the conference for next week. And I'm here. And you're here. Now, one of the reasons why I'm still here, I'm able to be here, and I didn't cancel the site because I've been busy today. I seen my day this morning. Let's go back. I seen myself doing this. The mind will stay congruent with the story that you tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So as we tell our stories, as we talk into our results, as we think into our results, then they become into the physical equivalent, the physical counterpart. Mm-hmm. They come into the now. So if you want to know, I'll just teach you something. There's spiritual, intellectual, and physical. The spiritual is the unseen. Tomorrow, God knows what will happen. It's in mm-hmm. the unseen. Right now, we can actually use the power of our choice muscle and our in imagination to draw up tomorrow. We can start to create and plan. That's in the unseen. Mm-hmm. Then what we can do then is intellectualize then what you want to do, the action. So someone says, I want to get in the best shape of my life. Well, there just needs to be action, right?
Yes.
Who are you deciding to be? But there needs to be action. And then it comes into the physical. So then you start taking the action. But first off, it's in the creation. Everything was once in the spiritual, me and you included. We were once a thought. Everybody watching this was once a thought, an idea. Our parents wanted a baby. And now the dream came true. Happy days. We're here. Wow.
Yeah. Gary V, you probably follow him. And he talks about that. You're like 100 billion chance that you are you type thing, and then you are here today. He turns around, he's standing in the middle of New York, and he says, you could have been a tree, for God's sake, you know. You know,
yeah, exactly, because there's 7.7 billion people on this planet, and we are super blessed to be amongst these 7.7 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
We're very blessed. Like, I trust that this is a wake-up call for people. So one of our steps is to awaken from the hypnotic slumber. A lot of people are in the roller coaster in fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. The thing about seeing your day is you want to live away from fear and more towards faith, as in what you desire, what you want, what you love. Really, yep. At the core, faith is love. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And what you want, uncertainty. Faith is certainty. Having faith, certainty. So when you're going throughout your day, then as you're super planning, as you're super scheduling and also thinking into your results, then what you can do then is then take action. And the key, because this is, I love this. I love the questions you said about give you some tools and techniques. I really want people to remember this. It's about who you decide to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, people look at what you do. What should I do? And the doing is important. That's the action. And then some people look more into the, right, the having, the results, the wealth. I need the wealth. Well, who are you going to be when you have the wealth? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be an asshole, or are you going to be kind? And as you be now, you will then move and grow and evolve. So really, it's about homing in right now on who you're being and the stories that you're dictating and communicating right now, your new self-image, your new story. And then move forward with that. And that's mm-hmm. what we help people to do. That's at the core of it. We're helping people to lead better, to be better in life, to do better, but also to contribute in the world. That it's not all from ego. When you get to the top of the mountain and you're on your own, it's very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The it's not easy. It takes time. And you mentioned a certain thing there. I forget what way you say it, but I use the analogy of a dirty glass. Like if you're constantly using those negative narratives and those negative stories, your mind's like a dirty glass. And then, so with all that muck and stuff in the glass, you put it underneath the faucet, you turn the tap on, and you, like over a period of time, there'll be less and less dirt in the glass. But that takes time.
It takes time and patience. And the one thing is, we need to be really mindful, mindful less. People talk about mindful, right? I love to be mindful less, to let go. See the difference?
That's right. That's right.
Right? And I would also say, be mindful, but also be mindful less. But be aware of the language that we speak. So just to say to yourself, and this isn't the
yes.
on you, right?
Yes.
This is your mind. This is not your being. So some people feel that, oh, I bruise my ego. He bruised my ego. And then they feel deflated. But see, you said there at the start of that sentence, it's not easy. Now, the mind will stay congruent with the story that you say.
Uh-huh.
So if you were to change to say that, well, it is easy. Or saying...
Over time, it gets easier.
Yeah. Through time, it gets easier. Or you could say, I'm more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more, so you're changing your narrative. So language, the tools and techniques, and this is just one tool, language, moving the lever of language, learning the lever of language. So basically, there's three tools to your emotional state of how you feel and what you do. One is your language. Then you have your body language, it's your physiology. And then you have your focus. So language can be so subtle. You know, I had a fellow there the other day, and he was a client, and he's a client of mine, and he was saying, oh, I'm going to try and do the try. I'll try and do that for you. I'll try and try and try, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll not name him, but I was like, listen.
Yoda.
Well, you're safe for telling me, no, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you're because... You know what I mean? Or we can plan it in the schedule. So your mind, if you're trying or might, should, could, would, when you go back to basics in maths, when we're studying, and this is universal, probability, 50-50. It may or may not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what we must communicate to the mind, and we're almost like our own mentor, and be your own mentor, is to be mindful. And to be aware of the language that we communicate.
Yeah. 100%.
No.
And like people will say, and you hear it a lot here in Ireland, oh, it's a bad day today, but it's raining.
It's a fucking beautiful day.
It's bad weather. It's bad weather, not a bad day. That's the way
it's amazing day. See,
that's one of the things that I've noticed. Yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is, if someone's watching, and it's not their fault, that's the thing, because people are trained in that way. So, oh, it's the weather, and listen, I'm now on the news, and listen, tomorrow we're going to have sunshine, but the next day we're going to have rain, you know, and this tonality is like,
yes,
seriously? Seriously? Like, I went to Africa twice, and I seen kids with no shoes on running to school in the rain to get food.
Mm-hmm.
So people here in Ireland or anywhere in the world, if you're complaining about the weather, that's a weed, and you need to get that weed out of your mind. Because the weather, we can't control the weather, but we can control how we deal with the weather.
I guarantee if you went to a shop tonight, somebody's going to mention it. If you went into Tesco's tonight, somebody's going to mention the weather.
And here's the thing, you're thank you for saying that, Seamus, because we have to be the gardener of our own mind.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We must remember this. The people are saying it for connection purposes.
Yes. And conversation. Yes, you get that.
And that's the truth, because they're not going to say, listen, I'm going to build a house next year. They're not going to tell you that. They're connecting with a lower vibrational thing, because you know what I mean? Because they connect with that.
Yeah.
So we have to be guardians of our own mind.
Yeah.
And think of the mind like a garden, and we are the gardeners.
We must
protect our garden.
Yeah.
So in that situation, and this can be in any situation, with anybody saying anything, it could be a family member saying something to you. It could be a stranger saying, oh, look at the weather. Make sure when you're agreeing with them that you know that you're agreeing with them. Quite often we unconsciously agree and it could be not reality.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I normally, and I've caught myself doing it, is whenever they say it's a bad day, I would consciously say, oh, it's terrible weather, isn't it, Ty? And sort of change, so maybe they become aware of what they've said. Do you know what I mean? But apart from that there was a couple of things. There was a couple other things there. So whenever you're talking about your visualization and or visualizing your day, I just wonder, is that something, you know, Stevie did whenever he was running those ultra marathons and stuff like that? You know, did he tell you anything about that? Or
yeah, so I'll show you some. Stevie won't mind me saying this on this. So because he's my brother and I love him, and he's taught me a lot. And if we can help anybody out there on this conversation, fantastic. So Stevie, I really didn't know much about Stevie before even when I met him.
Yeah.
I had heard about him, but I didn't know much about him. And then when you spend enough time with a man, you get to really know a man, you know? And he taught me that when he was doing the marathons, what he was doing was, he was actually seeing himself running the roads.
Yeah.
But he would actually see himself the night before running the roads, actually seeing himself, pacing himself, running the roads. And one of the things, he seen himself celebrating crossing the finish line. Celebrating. Now, this man did 100 marathons in 100 days. That's a lot of miles.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it all for charity from his heart. And he linked pleasure to the experiences. And he told me about, you know, when he ran across the cattle grid, he would say, yes, woo! Right? And he knows the power of body language and language, and what you're saying to yourself then becomes your reality. Most people go into exercise. Now, this was an exercise, by the way. But most people go into a situation or an event or some sort of challenge that they're putting themselves through. And what they're doing is, they're talking already about, oh no. Oh no.
Yep.
And I used to be like that. Now I'm like, yes, oh yes. I remember waking up earlier than what I used to do, you know, and celebrating that. Celebrate the small wins. So people talk about visualization, yes, and make sure that some people talk about visualization and it's all these things from outside of themselves, right? And it's way, way, way out there. And the next thing, they get disheartened by it's maybe too far out there. Home it into what you want in the next 3 months. Home it in what you want in the next 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, plan for the next 3 years, but look at the things that resonate right now and what you can celebrate now and what you can do now. So some people actually panic or stress when they go, they think too much into it and then they don't do it. They don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But we as human beings must home in now and what can take care of what you have now.
Mm-hmm.
But in relation to Stevie there, Stevie taught me a lot of things. And one of the things was to link celebration to the experience.
Small wins is a good thing. And I've come across that before through another fella that I did a mindset course on as well. And it was break it down to 3 wins, you know, per day. What 3 things are you grateful for? And what was your 3 wins of the day, basically, and that. But it's simple, but it is effective.
The thing is, see, unconsciously, we're all winners because there's no one like you, Seamus, and everybody watching this. There's going to be no one ever like you, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody watching this, this is an amazing time. There's an amazing song called "You Are On Time." You're on time, and you should listen to it. It's a very powerful song, but there's another song called "Follow the Sun" by Xavier Rudd. I don't know if you've heard this song.
No, probably not.
You know, follow the sun, and which way the wind blows, when this day is done, breathe in the air. So one of the things is that we teach, breathe in the air. Like there's and you can look this up, right? This is what one part of what we teach. Nasal breathing, breathe in through your nose and out through your nose. That relaxes your mind. It does. And it also releases nitric oxide. look us up. It's a vessel dilator. We actually have the resources to relax our mind and relax our body.
They don't teach you this in school.
Well, thankfully now with the Fit for You program, which is part of what we do teach it in schools. And next week I'm going to do all a seminar, a conference teaching this to the kids. So
excellent.
Yes, but you're right. As in daily repetition, you know, repetition is the mother of all skill.
Mm.
If you want to get good at anything, if you want to get better at anything, keep doing it. If you don't want to do it, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't panic.
I think it's great that you've got that opportunity to go into schools and sort of start off. I remember a couple of people coming in to speak at school, but to have like to something that they can go to more regularly, I think it's really important, like for sure.
We go in, it's not my actual job. I actually do it on the side. It's a not-for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's our mission. It's something that I do on the side of what I do. So I actually am part of a bigger mission to help adults, but also whilst helping adults, we have these future generation coming up who need to learn about the power of the mind, the power of belief, the power of imagination, the power of even critical thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's good to critical think. Like, be a critical thinker, mm-hmm. a reality thinker. This is the thing that is, I know this is one thing that I learned, right? Through Stevie. So there's positivity, right? To be positive. And the personal development, some coaches out there, some mentors will tell you to be positive. Be positive, be positive, be positive, be positive. Mm-hmm. And next thing, you can almost resist that.
Mm.
Because you're looking around and it's not fucking positive. Sometimes you have to be a reality thinker.
Yes.
A reality thinker. And look at the situation at hand. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when my car's rolling off the road, initially, the reality person was like, I cursed the man up and down. It wasn't a positive experience for me. Reality, my car's rolling off the road. But then I switched into the life is, it's happening for me. I was very blessed. And that mm-hmm. was the reality of the situation. Some people might perceive, James, that's a horrific situation. But I changed my story to say, you know what? It happened for me.
Mm.
You know
what I mean? I survived or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Where, like, I could probably go on for a while, but I mean, people's ears are going to be talked off them. Is there anything that you want to sort of touch on before we kind of sign off on this? You know, where can people see more of you and what you're doing and stuff like that? Or
excellent question. Well, I've actually recently been appointed the director of service here. And we're actually called Stevie J International.
Right.
And we come from service with a purpose. At the core of it, we serve.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we're doing is we're helping people to free up their energy, to move forward with their worthy ideal, with the things that are of their heart's desire. And we listen to where the person's at on the phone. Some people, maybe it's not the right time for them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not the right time. And we would give them guidance and help. Some people, it is the right time. So some people in this field come from a lot of NLP techniques and tricks and all this, and they want to get a seal. That's the truth. That is the truth. And I used to live like that. We're here to serve. And I've served people before by saying, listen, now's not the best time. Mm-hmm. Go save your money. Put your money away or use your money for the things that you actually want. That's the truth. That is the actual truth of what we do. Now, one of the things that we're all about is helping leaders to lead, helping people to lead better. And when I say a leader, you could be someone who isn't even in business, but you can still be a leader.
Yeah.
You mean, there's people who we train.
Could be a mother.
You could be, that's why we're on the same frequency. We're on the same vibration. I was just about to say, stay at home mums. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Stay at home mums are leaders. If they have a goal and objective and higher ideal and worthy idea, Okay. But also, we also help people who want to do better in life and contribute more. So a lot of our people come with us on our humanitarian missions.
Mm-hmm.
So we would run intimate retreats, and there's only 22 spaces. In fact, it's under the umbrella of our program. The person that signs up, they get a retreat. It's a full weekend experience, no phones, detaching, all about themselves. It's all about them, but also with the people that they're with. They meet new people, new friends, like-minded people, people who want to move forward and grow and evolve and heal through
situation. Yeah.
But also who want to do well and have ambition to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Then we then provide mentorship, because we realized it was very pop. People go to retreats and next thing, there's no follow-up. People go to the fly out to America or the England to do many different events, right? And yes, you get a woo, yes, woo, you're inspired. At the end, you come home and you don't have that network. Mm-hmm. So what we added onto our package is a 90-day plan, a 90-day structured plan, mentoring for the person. So they actually get 90 days of coaching.
Yep. Excellent. Yes.
And then, which I love this part, I love it all, but we actually have a lifetime online library of videos. So it's lifetime for life. And it's 100 hours of content. So the person's not left in limbo.
Yeah.
They're not left. So they always have the system for life. So that's our Launch 22 program. Now, as I said, if anybody wants to message me or message Seamus and get in touch, but, you know, we come from service. We'll hear where you're at. We'll have a launch call. We call them a launch call. Even that call can launch that person, because we listen.
Mm-hmm.
Then we give them some advice, some tips. They may or may not sign up. They may be matched. They may not be matched. We see where they're at. If they're matched, brilliant. If they're not, we'll give them something as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we operate. Because it's from service.
Yes. And social media, where can they see you and that? Or
so I have the Passing Through page, but I also monitor and I'm in charge of the Stevie J page as well. So you can type in Stevie J International on Instagram, mm-hmm. Stevie J _International, or you can catch me on the Passing Through page as well. Mm-hmm. And there's loads of stuff that we're going to be doing. But really, we're all about the service, as I say, and from the heart. I really want to mention that, because sometimes you see these people and they're online, they're like, hey, sign up to my course because we're going to teach you. And they're like, it's like almost robotic and it's a script. Mm. And they're like, mate, you know, the best thing we're all about is we sell the person on themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's the best way to do it.
We sell you on yourself. We look at you from a holistic standpoint.
Yeah.
Your business, your relationships, your well-being, your health, but more importantly, you at its core. You the person. Because it's you in your business. You in your relationships. Mm-hmm. It's you in your health and your friendships. It's you that's in your life. So we come from a very natural, holistic standpoint.
Fantastic. I love it, man. I love it. Look, I think that's a great way for people to kind of, if they want to make the move, to get in touch, and we can just sort of.
We've actually expanded our team, so you may not be talking to me. You could be talking to my brother's now signed up, joined us. He's actually joined the team, and we're now moving more forward because we're taking on more people, doing more retreats, and. More likely you'll be speaking with him. He'll be telling you. And if you need to speak to me or you want to definitely speak to me, you can. You can reach out to me and we can schedule the call. No problem.
That's awesome. That's great. Hey, thank you very much, man, for coming on. I thought it was a great conversation. I hope people have taken a lot away from it.
I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm getting goosebumps here, by the way, and the bells are ringing out. I don't know if you can hear the bells.
No.
Right? But one of the things is we here on this island, we must promote each other. We must look after each other. And this podcast, thank you for inviting me onto it and being a guest. I'm really pleased and blessed to be it, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, for anybody out there, follow what Seamus is doing. There's more speakers. I'm sure you have more people coming up. And someday maybe I'll be back on. You know, I'm planning. I would love to be back on and re-engage with you again and see where you're at. And
you can talk about my book.
Exactly. I can't wait for your book. And that's one thing. End off of this, you know. When's a good time to plant a tree? When is a good time to fall in love? When's a good time to tell someone you love them? When's a good time to eat the right amount of food? When's a good time to embrace nature? Well, now. There's no time but now. Now is the time. Mm-hmm. Now means no opportunities wasted.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Well, here, I know you're going to put this on the platform. I'll share this on my links as well. Check out Seamus' Instagram. And awesome. Also, I'll put this on the Facebook and link people through. And, this is going to be a powerful session for people just to get to know you and me better and know about what we're talking about.
Yes.
People resonate with stories.
Yes. Yes. Thank you again so much, man. I'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Absolutely. We'll stay connected. And
yes.
One final words.
Keep her lit, keep her country.